We're back. It's time for As It Is, a way to find out about world events and learn and improve your American English at the same time. Today, we hear from Nigeria, where Boko Haram militants have been kidnapping people as part of their terror campaign. There is some good news to report, and we will bring it to you in just a few seconds. Then, are you ready for some more football? It seems that everyone is watching or listening to World Cup action. Today, we will visit a place in Brazil that can teach you about 100 years of the popular sport. As It is coming your way from VOA Washington. Now, here is part one. Officials in Nigeria say more than 60 women escaped from their kidnappers last weekend. They reportedly were captured last month by the militant group Boko Haram. The escape of the kidnapped women is good news for Nigerians. But hundreds of young girls who were captured earlier have yet to be recovered. Boko Haram launched its campaign against the government 5 years ago. It now appears the group's operations are growing deadlier and more far-reaching. Nigerian security forces say they are following what they call a female wing of Boko Haram. The announcement came after the arrest of three women last week. Tony Meza is a lawyer.
Right now in Nigeria, the security situation is worsening, and we are beginning to see both the militants are both women. They called women in. They employ children, youths. So we don't know who is who. So
Boko Haram supporters are thought to live mostly in northeastern Nigeria. But Mr. Meza says the group's influence is spreading to other areas. Since April, three bombings have killed more than 100 people in Abuja. Two of the bombs exploded at a bus station. The third exploded at a shopping mall in a wealthy central neighborhood. Boko Haram militants claimed responsibility for the first bus station attack, which happened in late April. They also claimed responsibility for capturing more than 200 schoolgirls who remain missing. Dandisan Nwankwa works in the Niger Delta, the home of Nigeria's oil industry. He says if militants can attack Abuja, they may seek to attack the Niger Delta.
We have always put in place measures in our own internal security system to avert all these ugly incidents happening in other places.
Mr. Nwankwa is the general supervisor of the Izu Chukwu Bus Company. He says his company requires every passenger to be searched before going on bus trips. And homeless people are no longer permitted to sleep at bus stations.
And that searching, all the passengers will not be allowed to enter that vehicle until the vehicle decides to move, so that somebody will not infiltrate something inside the bus.
Boko Haram has killed thousands of people in 5 years of attacks. The group says it wants to establish its own version of Islamic law. But most of the victims have been Muslims. Lawyer Tony Meza says Christian religious centers have also been common targets. He says many churches recently banned handbags as part of non-government efforts to fight the rebellion.
These measures that women should not carry bags to churches, people should not be allowed to sleep motorbikes, people should not be allowed to sleep on completed buildings. They are all proactive measures to ensure that we don't allow these hoodlums to mill around us.
Nigeria is Africa's largest exporter of oil, and oil produces the majority of the government's income. Boko Haram has never attacked oil-producing areas in the south, but it has threatened to do so. The group often carries out the terror attacks it promises, but it has also made unrealistic threats, including ones against foreign heads of state, both living and dead. Football lovers, your time has come. Do you think you know a lot about your favorite sport? We are willing to bet that even the most excited fans can learn something new at a special museum in Brazil. Jonathan Evans is our tour guide.
The excitement of the 2014 World Cup has spread all over the world. Tens of thousands of people have traveled to Brazil to support their favorite teams. Some of them are also visiting a football-related museum in the city of São Paulo, near the Pacaembu Sports Center. The museum is designed to interest lovers of the World Cup, world history, and Brazilian culture. It tells about more than 100 years of football history. After seeing the museum, it is easy to understand why Brazilians love the game of football, which people in the United States call soccer. People entering the museum see and hear a video of Brazilian football legend and three-time World Cup champion Pelé welcoming them in three different languages. About 1,000 people a day visit the museum. But during the World Cup, it has two times as many visitors. Visitors hear the sounds of goals and whistles and experience what it is like to win and lose. There is a Hall of Heroes that shows some of Brazil's most famous football players. The museum also has computer games that let visitors play football without going onto the pitch or field. Daniela Alfonsi is the content director of the museum.
We have 15 rooms in long-term exhibition that works with the motion, that work with experiences. So in each room, you can feel the voice of the supporters on the bleachers, you can hear the radio narrations, you can see the football as art more than as a sport.
Pelé once called football O Jogo Bonito, or the beautiful game. In this museum, it is easy to see why. Carlos Acosta is a Colombian who lives in Sao Paulo and loves football. He says Brazilians think and talk about football all day. They eat it, they drink it, they breathe it, he says. One room at the museum is very special to Brazilians. It tells about the defeat of the Brazilian team by Uruguay in the 1950 World Cup final at the Maracanã Sports Center in Rio de Janeiro. The score was 2-1. Brazilians called the defeat the Maracanazo. The loss happened as more than 90,000 people watched. But the sadness felt from the loss did not last long. Brazil has won 5 World Cup championships, the most of any country. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And we have just enough time to throw in some interesting facts about this day in history. Back in 1958, an earthquake that measured 8.3 hit Alaska, and then a giant wall of water, a tsunami that was 1,700 feet high, raced toward land. That's the biggest ever recorded. On this date in 1867, Elias Howe was born. Without his invention, we'd probably all be walking around in our birthday suits. He is the fellow who made the first sewing machine. And that's all for this edition of As It Is. We are here 7 days a week, and all our programs are available as podcasts for you to download. Learning English is part of the Voice of America in Washington.